I'd love to know what the house and the house of the Lord thinks to, you know, meet after us. What they think when they find the Zodiac laying around. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Hang this shirt up with a poster, you know. Next time you were all wearing this shirt, make sure you have yours. And they would wonder. I didn't have to look for it all. It was a present. Another lady gave it to me. I'd rather not go any. Yeah. Oh, well. Okay. I now have 7:30, so we can start on time. Let's do take a moment and make sure that each one of us is walking by faith in the Spirit. And those who worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And as Paul says in Colossians 1:6, just as you receive Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk ye in Him. And we receive Christ as Lord by faith. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. We are filled with the Spirit in the same way by faith. And probably the key to that is in John 6:29, when the Pharisees, religious crowd, are asking the Lord what work they need to do to be saved. And he said the work, singular, that you need to do to be saved is to trust the one whom God sent. And God sent Jesus Christ to save us from the penalty of sin, and he sent the Holy Spirit to save us from the power of sin. So we are saved by faith. We walk by faith. We live by faith. So let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the many blessings that you have given us. We thank you for the Lord Jesus who loved us and gave himself for us, and that through him we have eternal life. We thank you for the unfolding of history and the zodiac, the way of life that you have so graciously given to us. Now, Father, I pray that as we spend some time looking at the signs that you've given us in the stars, in the heavens, that your Spirit would teach us the things that you have for us. These things I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, we are really on the home stretch of our study of the zodiac. We're right here at Cancer the Crab. All we have to do then is get over here to Leo. Leo the Lion, that's the last one. And you see, we begin with Virgo, the Virgin, who has, remember, in her hand the branch. Jesus Christ is the branch, the seed. He was the seed that fell to the earth, germinated, came to life, and resurrected. And that's the beginning. This is the ending, and the ending is Leo, the rulership of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in this last book that we've been studying of the Zodiac, 12 books, 12 chapters, 3 books, is all about the rulership of Christ and the church. And it's very interesting to me that we have the mystery in Scripture of the church, so many mysteries in the New Testament, and yet it's all given to us in the Zodiac, and as we understand Scripture, the mystery is revealed. You see, remember, mystery means something different in the Greek than it does in our mystery. Our mystery is who done it, we don't know. And in the Greek, the idea of a connotation is truth revealed. It's something that is revealed. If you belong to one of the Greek societies, you were one who was perfected. And if you were perfected, it meant that you knew the secrets of the society. And so anyone could join the fraternity, anyone could learn the secrets, and anyone could be perfected. And so we're to be the perfected, and that means we know the secrets. And the truth is revealed in Scripture, and as we understand Scripture, we begin to understand the Zodiac. Just as Genesis 3:15, we understood from Genesis 3:15 that the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ, would bruise the head of the serpent. And all the way through the Zodiac, we see in some way or another that Jesus Christ is bruising the head of the serpent or the head of Scorpio, whatever the case may be. He's always victorious. And that's what we're studying, is that Jesus Christ is victorious. Now, we saw Cancer, or the crab, last time, and the Egyptian name for this constellation means the folds or the resting place. And so what we really have here are the sheepfolds or the resting place for believers. And remember, the crab lives on water and land, and has two homes, so to speak, two places where it resides. We reside on this earth, and one day we'll reside in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of other similarities. We saw where the crab, as well as the bug, that the beetle that the Egyptians used in their constellation, constantly, as it grows, it changes and transforms, and finally the beetle transforms, or the little worm maggot transforms into a beetle. And as you and I walk in the Spirit, we go through a metamorphosis. We are transformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the root for Cancer is Khan, and it means the traveler's resting place. It's really Khan-Sur, and the Sur means embraced or encircled. And so Khan-Sur is a resting place that is encircled, and that would be like a sheepfold. And remember in John, the Lord said that he had other sheep, he had another fold. And so the word, as far as the Romans were concerned, the Cancer meant rest secured, and it is obviously Christ who secures our rest. So the Romans used this idea of Cancer as the traveler's resting place for the encircled or the embraced. Just think about that. You and I are the embraced of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're His bride, and He embraces us. The Spirit name was actually meant the one who holds. Now, our first constellation, remember there are three decans, which are sub-constellations, and each one of the constellations, three sub-chapters, and they all tell a story in themselves. And the first constellation in Cancer is Ursa Minor, which we call the Little Dipper. But what it really means is, and in the ancient zodiac, it was called the lesser sheepfold or the little sheepfold. Today, it's often called the little bear. Now, as I said there, notice, first of all, you know, as I pointed out last week, you don't see a lot of bears with tails. Bears don't have long tails. And this is not the bear. It is the sheepfold, and in the zodiac of the Chaldeans, the Persians, the Egyptians, even the American Indians, there was no bear. It was a sheepfold. Now, how did this thing get to be called a bear? I want to spend a few minutes there. and go from there. Let's see if we can see right. See right here on the middle of the Big Bear, the big chief pole. You see that star right in the middle, which is called Diva, and it means a herd of animals. In Arabic, it means cattle. And that in the Hebrew, what we have is the natural or the real name for this. Don't go away. Oh, it's my other one. Which is Dovar, which is D, oh, here's the O right here, V-A-R, Dovar. And Dovar means fold, or pen, but a fold. And in the Chaldean, it came to mean wealth. Now, if you had a foal with many sheep, you had wealth. You see the connotation in a, what might we say? He's got a fat wallet. Okay? Well, he's got a fat foal. No, it meant he had a great big sheep fold. He had a lot of animals. So he had wealth. Now, the Hebrew word here for this star is Jove, and it looks like this. And put the E here, and then this is an hour. So it would be D-O-V-E. A, Dove. And it means rest or security. And in fact, it's used in Deuteronomy 33:25, as thy days are, so shall thy rest or security be. And I don't know about you, but when I think of rest or security, I don't think of being in the same pen with a bear. Okay? You know, where have you been? Oh, I've been in a real secure place. Came to a grizzly bear. Well, that's, I don't think so. And so, the greater and the lesser foes are places of rest and security. That's what I want you to get. Now, how did we get from Dover to bear? Well, here's the Hebrew word for bear. And would be D-O-V. Can you see the difference? Can you, it could also look like this. When you can't make a V, you're bad. D-O-V. Okay? Can you see how this and this, they're pronounced the same, but they look differently. Do we have English words that are pronounced the same and look differently? Yeah, just somewhere along the line, it became a bear. And instead of a resting place. Now remember, let's go back to the zodiac. What is Satan's job? To confuse us, right? He's a deceiver. And so what he's done is, if you think of the zodiac today, you get into astrology, witchcraft, all kind of, that's all the fear of Lucifer. And he has taken something that God designed to show us what he constantly does, all the work. And in in astrology, instead of having what you have in the zodiac, that God is God and we're not, in astrology, you're God. Or there is no God. You're just kind of a, you know, you're not really a fate. You just have to make sure you know the alignment of the stars and the planets and then act accordingly. Okay. Instead of God having a plan for you, Mother Nature has a plan for you. See, he's a distorter. And so he is able to distort. But when we go back to the ancient zodiac, we see it's a sheepfold instead of a bear. Okay? Now, let's just go over to Revelation 4 for a minute. Because the lesser sheepfold has 24 stars. And I think it's interesting because John talked about 24 elders. Let's just go through real quick. Look at verse 1. After this I looked, and there before me was a door standing open in heaven, and the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, "Come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this." Okay, we're not teaching this chapter, but let me ask you this question. Whose voice is this? The Lord Jesus Christ. There's the door standing. The door talks to him. Who's the door? Jesus Christ. You see that? Okay? And at once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven, and someone, this is God the Father, sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and a carnelian, a rainbow resembling an emerald, encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders, and they were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head, and from the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. This is a picture of the Holy Spirit. They are the seven. Now notice this corrected translation. The NIV said these are the seven spirits of God. But what we have in the Greek, these are the sevenfold spirits, singular, of God. This is the Holy Spirit. And before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center around the throne were four living creatures, and they were covered with eyes in front and back. The first living creature was like a lion. See, the lion represents the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David, the ruler. The second was like an ox. That's Jesus Christ, the servant. He is a servant. Every time I think of that, I put this with a picture in the upper room with the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember, the disciples all come in, and ancient world, Afghanistan would look ancient compared to even Jerusalem in the first century. But in the ancient world, the streets, they were where you walked, they were where you rode, and they also served as sewers. And so when you walk, do I need to explain to you what you got on your feet? That's why they wore sandals. So, they would dry. Never mind. So when you went to someone's home, you took your shoes off. I almost said took your feet off. You took your shoes off. It's Thanksgiving, by the way. We're going to have a Thanksgiving service Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is just, see how you throw that in? Because I know it's just like TV. You've got to throw something in there, you'll catch it. So you go, can you imagine going to Thanksgiving service and just before our Thanksgiving dinner, and before you dinner time, you were out in the backyard playing with the dog. and stepped in a doggy present. And so then you come back in Thanksgiving dinner and eat, and all of a sudden there is an aroma that is overpowering the turkey and the sweet potatoes. And someone might ask you to remove your shoes outside. Okay, now, here's a disciple. 12 pairs of feet. 24 feet. Walking in the sewer. Ancient world, normally you went to someone's home, and if they were wealthy, they would have a servant. You would take your shoes off, and the servant would wash your feet, and you went inside barefooted, so that everyone could enjoy their meal. Now remember, this is the Lord's last meal for a long time. He wants it to be good. Not interested in other aromas. And when the disciples get there, you'll remember they're talking about who is the grandest disciple of them all. And each one saying, I'm the greatest disciple. No, I'm the greatest. Real humble men. And so there is no servant. So the other custom was, if there was no servant, you would take turns washing one another's feet. But they're not about to wash someone's feet, because when you wash their feet, what you said was, I am your servant. And they were the greatest. So how could they be? See? And so they all go in with dirty feet. And now they're ready to eat. And so the Lord gets up, takes off his clothes, wraps a towel around him, pours the water, gets the bowl, and he washes their feet. He is the servant. That's the ox. Okay? That's the ox. Strong are servants. What makes us strong? The Holy Spirit. Who makes us a servant? The Holy Spirit. That's just one of the things that boggles my mind, is when I think of Jesus, the God of the universe, how does he think of himself as my servant? He serves me. He serves you. How did he serve us? Died for us. On the cross. I mean, is dying for someone, is that, I mean, in a scale of 1 to 10, that has to be at least a 7 when it comes to serving? Maybe a 10. Okay? He served us. And remember, there was a little lesson there for us. We're to serve one another. And the motivation for service is love. And how are we to love as Christ was? We cannot do that on our own. That's a supernatural love. And as we walk in the Spirit, Romans 5:5, the Holy Spirit pours out his love through our hearts. We love as Christ was. And so Christ is a servant. We are to be servants. We serve God. Correct? Or maybe we should say, I don't know where this we came from. Maybe I should say, we are or we should be serving God. And we should be serving one another. Now, the third, going back to our passage in Revelation, had a face like a man. Now, man, kinsman, redeemer. Can God be a priest? Can he be our priest? Who's the high priest? Oh, and it's humanity, though, isn't it? Be a priest to represent us before God. He needs to be equal to God and equal to man. That's the hypothetical being. He's the God-man. He's the priest. Remember when we studied Centurus? This is the humanity, the God-man, hypostatic union. He is the priest. But he's also the victim, the sacrifice. Our priest is unique because he is not only the one offering the sacrifice, he is the sacrifice. It's all right there in the fact. Now remember, part of this, remember this is a big conflict between God's hero, Jesus, and Satan's hero, Satan. Who's worthy to be God? Lucifer thinks he's worthy to be God. He thinks he is stronger than God. He thinks he is smarter than God. And so to me it's as if God said, Oh, Lucifer, you are so smart. Why, my goodness, you're as smart as I am. Here's the whole key to everything that's going to happen. Surely you get this. Now, you know, one of the real problems of pretending that you're smarter than you are is that you can't ask questions like, what are you talking about? I don't understand. See, those are statements you can't... See the game? Can you see this game, this contest that's going on? If Lucifer asks, what does this mean? It means he's not as smart as God. So he pretends as if he understands the riddle. That's why Paul said in Corinthians, if he would have understood, he never would have crucified Christ. Because we've seen almost every constellation in the zodiac, every chapter is crucifixion. He didn't get it. So this is God almost, it sanctifies sarcasm. I'm sure if God is sarcastic, it sanctifies. Yeah. Oh, well, Lucifer, I mean, obviously, you're as smart as I am because, you know, you're worthy to be me, to be I. To be me sounds better, but it's proper. But perhaps it was me in the language that God spoke, which was early East Texan. Now, and... And so, he puts the whole picture here, and Lucifer never got it. He never got it. And part of the reason is because it would never occur to Satan to serve a lower form. Because he has no love. And therefore, it never occurred to Satan that God would serve man. Never crossed his little beam. And so, he had a faith like a man. He's the priest. He's the sacrifice. He was victorious on the cross. And the fourth was like a flying eagle. The eagle speaks of the sovereignty of God, the faithfulness of God. And each of the four living creatures has six wings and is covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Speaking of the omniscience of God, day and night, they never stop saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." He's eternal. Whenever the living creatures give glory and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fell down before him who sits on the throne and worshiped him who lives forever and ever, and they lay their crowns before the throne and say, "You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you," this is God the Father, "created all things, and by your will they were created and have their very existence." This is the church praising God in eternity. And that's what cancer is all about. In other words, what are we going to be doing in heaven? Well, a big part of what we're going to be doing is praising, worshiping God. Now, let's go back to our zodiac. Let's go back to Ursa Minor a little bit. Right here, see this star, second star? It looks like a tail, if you make this a bear, but remember, bears don't have tails. I'm going to tell you what this is. This is the entrance to the sheepfold. Okay? And the brightest star right there is the polar star, the North Star. That's if your board ship, this is before global positioning satellites, you wanted to get your bearings, what star did you need to find? North Star. We as believers in Christ, in order to get our bearings, where do our eyes need to be? On Jesus Christ. Yeah. Now, the North Star seems not to evolve as the other stars, but to remain fixed in its position. Even though it doesn't rotate as the other stars, it is everything is moving in the heavens. Slowly, slowly moving. And evidently, when the universe was created, the dragon had the North Star. What? Not the North Star, but the polar star. And it showed that at the fall that Lucifer controlled the earth. I think it also shows some other things about Lucifer before his fall. Remember, he was the high priest in heaven. He represented God. Jesus Christ is our high priest. He was the focal point of the angels. After his fall, he lost that, but he still wanted to be the focal point. Now, so over a period of time, the dragon moved, and the polar star moved out of the dragon. In other words, the star was still there, but we have a new polar star, and that's what we call a North Star. You make any sense to this? And you see how you have a center of the universe? He falls. He's no longer the center of the universe, replaced by Jesus Christ, who is the God-man. When Lucifer was the bright and morning, you know, morning star, he is the light bearer. He forgot he was created by God. Let's think about that for a minute. Lucifer is the light bearer. That's what Lucifer means. Light bearer. What is Jesus? The light. Can you see the difference? One's bearing the light, one is the light. He forgot that he was the light bearer. He thought he was the light. He's just been moved out of the way. And so now the pole star is in the lesser sheepfold. And represents North Star, Polar Star, represents Christ. We, when we accept Christ as our Savior, we become in union with Christ by baptism of the Holy Spirit. And just as all eyes are on the North Star, the Polar Star, that's the focal point. Now the focal point has changed, and we're the focal point, the church. And we represent Christ. Or should. And just as Satan and the world hate Jesus Christ, they now hate us. People are... I don't know if I can get this over to you, but if you really hated a guy and he gets married, guess what? You hate his bride. Is that right? Yeah. Well, then you don't know how to hate. Christ is the groom, we're the bride. Thinking spiritually, Satan hates Christ, the groom. Therefore, he hates his bride. That's us. And there's nothing we can do to make him like us. And it's just as, like what you do, saying, well, you know, we just need to understand the parents. Consider them like a sick relative. They just need medicine. Well, they need vitamin B. Mm-hmm. Well, they are sick relatives, and they need these vitamin B. They need B2. B52. But Satan hates it. John, in John 15, 18, that's what the Lord is talking about. He says, look, the world hates me, it's going to hate you. Now, another bright star in the Little Dipper, right here, I don't know if it's means he who cometh. Literally waiting on him who cometh. Some other stars in the lesser sheepfold are called the Kid, the Assembled. One of my favorite stars in the Arabic means Redeemed Assembly. Remember, these stars were all named by God. And how did we get the names of these stars? In the garden, the Lord Jesus Christ, pre-incarnate Christ, the God, man, gave Adam the names of all the stars. And in all of the civilizations, we have the same names for the stars we have today. In their own languages. But they mean very close to the same thing. Isn't that interesting? And when you really go back and you read 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, and they say, we don't know where these names came from, and you just, it's what they've always been. This is the black church. Is this a true statement? In most languages in the world, this would be a black church. Maybe different words for black, but it would be black, wouldn't it? A couple, maybe red, you know, blue, glow in the dark. Now, where did the color black come from? No. Where did we get the name black? Absence of light, but where did we get the color black? We get the color red. Why can we call that green? In other words, you see what I'm trying to tell you? It's just what they've always been. What they've always been. So the little sheepfold, the redeemed assembly. Notice I told you this, these stars right here, that's the entrance into the sheepfold. And in some of the ancient zodiacs, the Egyptian zodiac, that's exactly what it is, the gate or the entrance. Who's guarding the entrance? Jesus Christ, guarding the entrance. He takes care of it. Look here, let's go to the largest sheepfold. Who's guarding this entrance? Booty, Jesus Christ. Who keeps us secure? Jesus Christ. For all eternity. So let's go to Ursa Major, or the greatest sheepfold. We don't call it the Big Bear as they did in the ancient world, or as the Greeks do today. We call it the Big Dipper. But it's the greatest sheepfold. And in the Arabic, the name of this constellation means the assembled together. That's us. We are the assembled together. That's the church in heaven. And the brightest star means herd or fold. One of the stars in the Hebrew means the flock, and in the Arabic it means purchased. We are the flock that has been purchased by the work of Christ on the cross for us. So are we going to be in heaven? The flock of God, purchased by the blood of Christ on the cross. Another star means guarded. We're guarded by God. Another star means sheepfold. And so this sheepfold is the place for all believers for all eternity. It's the place where we are going to be guarded by God, kept secured by God, Jesus Christ, for all eternity. Neat place to be. We'll be in the company of Jesus for all eternity. Now let's get to our last beacon tonight. Argo the ship. Actually, it represents where we are in the millennium. but not where we are in the millennium. Because it represents our eternal position in heaven, okay? And I think that more than in the millennium, okay? Represents our position in heaven. On the earth, or in the millennium, and we've seen that in some other previous constellations, as Christ is the ruler, and we rule with Him, like Gemini, we rule with Christ in the millennium. Where is our home in the millennium? But where's our real home? Heaven. You see that? Will we be here? Yeah. Where's our home? Good question. Well, let's look at Argo. This is probably one of the more famous of the Deucons. Very early in the ancient world, the Egyptian hieroglyphics, we had the cartoon, Jason and the Argonauts. Not really. But, so you go back to Homer, and that's a different Homer. You know, Joyce is thinking of Homer and Jethro, but it's a different Homer. Do you, not the Simpsons, but Barney? You know, the cartoon Barney? You know what Barney and Bin Laden have in common? They both look out of their homes and see rubble. Now, let's go to Argo, the ship. And notice that the sails are furled. This is the ship in port. It's reached its destination. This is the ship commanded by the Lion, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's looking back toward the nave of the ship, where we are, the church. We have been brought safely into our home port, heaven, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Homer missed the real interpretation of this voyage. It's spiritual. Remember, Jason goes to recover the golden fleece. The golden fleece was the lost treasure of man's righteousness. Literally, it's an innocence in Homer, but it's the lost treasure of man's spiritual life. When Adam sinned, he lost his human spirit, his relationship with God, his spiritual life. And it was stolen, you see, literally by that crafty, wascally serpent. And go back to this. Satan's question is, how can one who has become unrighteous ever be righteous again? That's what the Zodiac tells us, how it happens. Let's go back to Job 4 for a minute. It's been a while since we've been there. Job, that's just before Psalms. And some of you may have thought that was the book of Job, and so you stayed out of that book. See, this is Eliphaz, and basically in this chapter, he's telling Job, you know, you have a right to be ticked off at God. God's wrong, you're right. And he speaks for Satan. Now, look at verse 17. That's a four, Job 4. Job chapter 4. He says, can a mortal be more righteous than God? And of course, His answer is no. Now, from the Hebrew, here's what we really have. Shall man be justified from the source of God? And the answer understood in the Hebrew is no. Is that true? It's not true. But how does Lucifer look at it? Do you see the question he's asking? Shall man be justified from the source of God? No. Even in the Hebrew, it's no, it's impossible. Can he be declared righteous from his Maker? No. You see what Lucifer is saying? Here you are. Here is Adam in the garden. And he is righteous. Correct? He has a human spirit. He can fellowship with God. He eats of the fruit. He is now minus righteousness and minus a human spirit. Is that right? Spiritually dead. And so what had to happen? There had to be a sacrifice. Genesis 3:15. Jesus had already explained it to him. That's why it made so much sense. But remember, once he sinned, he decided that he could be righteous by his own work. That's no Operation Sigley. We'll just clothe ourselves with Sigley. God will be able to tell the difference between his righteousness and our Sigley. Sure. You know, I don't think that God was fooled that long. And you know what? They weren't either. Because as soon as they heard Jesus walking in the garden, they hid. And they looked at each other and they said, you know, these fig leaves, they ain't going to cut it. Right? He's going to see us, and right away, he's going to know this isn't his clothing of white. So they hid. So he sacrifices an animal. And now their righteousness is restored. And their life is restored because they trusted in the Messiah. They ate of the tree of life. Remember that? We studied that. Satan says that once man has become unrighteous, it is impossible for him ever to be made righteous again. Not even God can do it. Yeah, he's talking about not only all of us, but who else? Well, himself, but who's even someone more important than that? Christ. Because on the cross, what happened to the Lord? He came sin. So did he become unrighteous? He became sin. Truly and truly. You know, wasn't smoke and mirrors. Looked like it, but wasn't really. Ha ha, fool everybody. He became sin for us. But what else happened on the cross? End of the cross. Toward the end. Yeah. He became righteous again. Father, into your hands I dismiss my spirit. Righteous, correct? How did that happen? How did that happen? Anybody have a clue? the price is paid. Jesus, George, who made him righteous? God did. What did Satan say? Can be done. You see what he's saying? You see what the whole conflict is over? Remember we saw in Habakkuk? You ask the priest, if you have a piece of sanctified bread, meat, the priest touches something that is unclean, what happens? That which is clean becomes unclean. The unclean doesn't become clean. Becomes unclean. Do you see what Lucifer is saying? He is saying, once man becomes unclean, he can never become clean. He belongs to me forever. Do you see what he's saying? God says, oh. Faith. Jesus Christ trusted God the Father on the cross, and God made him clean. When we trust Jesus Christ, God makes us clean. Is that right? Read Job 8:3. This is Bildad. Does God pervert justice? Does the Almighty pervert what is right? You know what he's saying? Look, you are unrighteous, and there's nothing God can do about it. You belong to me. Next chapter, 9:2. Indeed, this is Job talking, I know that this is true. But how can a mortal be made righteous before God? Well, and you see, Job has been thinking, if I work hard and I do a real good job and I work as hard as being righteous as I can, I'll be righteous. But he's beginning to realize, got a problem here. Chapter 14. Verse 4. Who can bring what is pure from the impure? No one. Not even man born of woman. Verse 1. No one. Look at the next chapter, chapter 15, look at verse 14. What is man that he could become pure, or one born of woman that he could become righteous? You see what we're talking about, man? We're talking about Christ. Look, if Christ becomes sin for us and cannot be made pure again, where does that leave us? Lost. Impure. Do you see that? Chapter 25. Got Bildad again. Look at verse 4. How then can a man be righteous before God? Answer in Hebrews 2:10. Remember, Bildad is speaking for Lucifer, for Satan. How can a man be righteous before God? He can't. How can one born of woman be pure? He can't. Look at verse 5. Even if the moon is not bright. Who's the moon in Scripture? Satan. We're having a little problem with people today who worship the moon god. His name is Allah. You're wondering? So even if the moon, Satan, is not bright, and the stars, angels, are not pure in his eyes, look, if Satan is not bright, and those angels who followed him are not pure in his eyes, how much less man who is but a maggot, a son of man who is only a worm? Who's the son of man? Christ. Who's the worm? Christ. You see what Lucifer's saying? I'm sorry, what? Yes. Yeah, this is, if we go to the end of Job, after about chapter 40, God says, okay, Job, where were you? And I just, I captured Lucifer, I reeled him in, off my little 10-pound test line. The first battle. Job, can you reel in Lucifer? Leviathan, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Where were you when I cast the stars? Where were you? Where were you? And finally, Job said, God, I think I'm getting it. You're God and I'm not. Remember? The whole truth in the first chapter of Job, he thought he was a righteous man, but he wasn't. Because he depended on his good work. 40 chapters, he realizes, I'm not a righteous man. I can't make myself righteous. Only God can make me righteous. Now, the conflict, this is what I want you to get, it comes out of this book. Job, first book written in the Bible. Job is a contemporary of Abraham. Okay? It sets up what's going on. How can one who is unrighteous ever become righteous again? And the answer is by faith. Is that right? Yeah. I was born unrighteous. Adam's sin imputed to me. One day I simply trusted Christ as my Savior. I moved from unrighteous to righteous. Okay? Satan says it can't be done. The proof of the pudding is in the resurrection. If 3 days goes by, 4 days, 5 days, a couple of weeks, and the ladies say, we never really did prepare Jesus for burial. Let's go do it. And they open up that grave. Ooh, is there a smell in there? And there's Jesus' body. What do we know? He's dead. No resurrection. It means he did not become righteous. Is that right? And if he didn't become righteous, where does that leave us? Dead. Unrighteous. And that means we belong to Satan forever. Is that right? But when they went to the tomb, did they have to open it? No. It was empty. It was alive. You know what that says? It says that on the cross when he said, "It is finished," debt paid in full. It was over. He paid for all sin. How? I don't know. Father relationship. Resurrection. That which was unclean has become clean. That resurrection says that a man can become righteous before God. Resurrection says one born of a woman can become pure. That's what resurrection says. The poop. Argo, the ship. We're in the ship. We've become pure. Remember the golden fleece representing the righteousness of man was stolen by the crafty serpent? And he says that it could never be recovered. And so Jason and the Argonauts take off. And Jason, who is the recoverer, the atoner, the healer, in other words, Christ, he comes and he organizes his group, his company, his heroes, and he goes and retrieves the fleece. He has to go through great suffering. Remember, he goes to this city, and there in this garden, the fleece was guarded by the serpent, and in this garden, he's hung on a tree. And so, once again, we have the fleece. The Lamb slain for us. We go right back to it. Jesus Christ is both the Lamb of God. He is both the priest and the sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice. So how can man who is impure become pure? By a perfect sacrifice. Jesus Christ. He loved us so much he gave himself to become sin for us. And so by being a priest, he offers the perfect sacrifice himself. And by our faith in Christ, we are identified with him. And we're now in the church, the ship. Argo represents the church. And he brings us safely to home port. And Argo, when Jason and the Argonauts got back to port in the ship, Argo, they were victorious. And so that's literally what we have in the ship. It represents us, the church, brought safely to the shores of heaven. Sails all rolled up. We're at home port. The brightest star and Argo is Hanaput, the possession of him who cometh. Surely, we are the possession of him who cometh. We belong to Jesus Christ. The lion, Jesus Christ, protects us. So, how can man who is imperfect become perfect? Only through Christ. Not by our work, but by his work. Not by our might, but his might. Yeah. Well, there's only one way to be saved. A Christian is only one who's identified with Christ, and that demands faith in Christ. Yeah. But what is our work? Faith. So, you have really you only have two groups of people. Unbelievers and believers. Okay? I like to think of two groups of people, them that got Christ, and them that need Christ. Okay? Now, the lost who need Jesus, many of them think they don't. And so they're working. So if in their mind, how can one become righteous? Well, by our own good works. I'll just work harder. Right? Believers, divided up into two groups. Those who are saved and going to heaven, but never coming to a full knowledge of Christ. Walking by their own works. And those who are saved, going to heaven, but being transformed into the image of Christ by simple faith in the Spirit. So, even believers, Christianity is divided up into those who want to do work and those who just want to trust God. Majority of the world are believers or unbelievers. Unbelievers. They want to do work, don't they? The majority of Christianity want to do work. So, our goal is just talked about us being gathered for all eternity by our shepherd, by our captain, Jesus Christ. And there we live in the sheepfold for all eternity. Next week we finish up with the lion. Father, thanks for the time we've had to come together and worship you today. I pray that your Spirit would take these things and make them real to each one of us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Yes. Thank you. I'm just waiting to see if you are paying attention.